Welcome, everyone, especially our first meeting in about 6 months where we all got here in the light. It's really nice. So adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2020, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody is absent. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Broman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. All right, we open the floor to public comment at 7:07. This is for comment on agenda items only. Would anyone from the public care to speak about anything on the agenda?
I'm forming a posse. I want you to know that. It's called the Three Ponytail Bandits.
Here.
Well, you didn't put that on the agenda, though, Lou. You should have asked Kathleen to put it on the agenda.
Oh, otherwise you're not going to listen to me? Is that it?
Not during public comment.
No.
Okay, we close public comment at 7:08 p.m. So what I would like to do now is ask for a motion to go out of order. We have a guest speaker tonight, or speakers, and so as not to make them wait until the very end of the meeting. Could I have a motion to go out of order?
I'll move that we change the order of business to allow the public.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I'd like to call up Helena LeCompte, who would like to speak to the mayor and council in public. And who's with you?
So is this public comment or just a presentation?
Presentation. Yeah. And you can introduce your colleagues.
Come on up.
Oh, did we turn that on?
I think it's on.
Good evening. My name is Helena LeCompte, and I currently attend Roosevelt Public School in the fifth grade. These are my group mates, Zoe and Kaylee, and they also are in the fifth grade. And each year, the graduating class does a project called the Do One Good Thing, and this project is where you find a charity that you want to donate money or time towards. This year, my class chose the World Wildlife Foundation. My group is focusing on the importance of recycling, which we feel is very important for the survival of ocean wildlife. My group has found that our school does not recycle beyond paper and cardboard. We have called our current dumpster company, Freehold Cartage, and investigated a commingled dumpster for all recycling, but it is double the cost of our original cardboard dumpster. Since we know the school is trying to cut costs, we are proposing and asking if the borough would consider having the recycling company in town pick up the school's recycling.
Thank you very much. Do Zoe or Keely want to say anything? No? Okay.
On a question?
Yeah. I was going
to. Yeah, we get the chance to ask questions also. So what do you do for recycling stuff like that now?
So our school, we only have a dumpster for cardboard and paper. Uh-huh. And we currently know that, like, some of the teachers do not actually have recycling bins. Some teachers only have paper recycling bins.
Okay.
And in your school, you must have, like, what, milk cartons or all kinds of other things that could be recycled?
Yes, but we have learned that the pizza boxes and the milk cartons cannot be recycled because of the contents inside,
right.
Makes
food.
It not allowed being recycled.
What about, so I guess you have glass bottles of other things? I know you must have metal and glass in the school.
Thank you.
Yeah, I learned at the fair this past 4th of July, there was a recycling table. They had a quiz about what you can recycle and what you can't recycle. I was really surprised about which went where. So does your class do anything to educate, like, people like us that don't know?
We have not tried to do that recently, but We are trying to actually get the school to recycle, so we're looking for recycling bins and dumpsters and different things that could actually make a statement that the recycling company can come pick up our recycling since we have it and no one's picking it up.
But your goal today is to ask the town if our recycling company could pick
yes.
up the remainder of the things that aren't, well, actually, they would probably pick up everything once they went there.
I have a question. Why is recycling important?
Recycling is important because if you don't recycle, it's pollution. So most of the recycling, like bottles and paper and plastic bags, they can get stuck in the ocean and the marine life end up eating it and they get sick and die. And other animals on the land also do that.
I understand that New York just has a law that you can't use plastic bags in stores now. And New Jersey, I think, soon is going to do the same thing.
Some towns in New Jersey have begun.
Yeah, the shore towns. Even down
I think
South
even Camden.
Yeah, yeah.
I think New Jersey's heading for it real quick.
So it's really good that you get
to. Yeah, it's really important. Yeah. I think most people in Roosevelt are pretty passionate about recycling, I think. I know we've gotten lots of questions. One thing I do know that we can recycle everything in town from 1 through 7 except for number 6. Anything with a 6 can't be because that holds food. Those are usually kind of flimsy food containers. So
how do you know what 1 through 7 is?
You look on the triangle on the other side.
Like on the bottom of...
Yeah, there should be a number on there.
Not your liquor bottle. That goes anyway.
I'm glad to check the cap before you turn it over.
Huh? I think only 1 and 2.
Unless it changed with the last contract, but it was 1 through 7 except for 6.
No, it's 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
We heard that also.
It was 1 through 7. The last time, unless our...
I think it was in the bulletin the other night. Wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
1 and 2.
Yeah. You see how confused even we are.
Well, yeah, it's true. Well, then it did change, because it was everything but 6. I was going to say the contract may have changed it. Right, the contract may have...
Oh. That's your contractor, that's right.
Have you guys talked to your school superintendent about this?
We have. Okay. We have asked the janitor what she does with the recycling, and we have asked all the teachers about how they recycle and if they actually do. And we have asked the principal about, like, if the school actually does recycle and if a company comes, but they just don't collect anything.
Yeah, because it's in a dumpster now, right?
Yeah.
It's all thrown in and
lump sum.
They also so do you have two requests? Is it a request that the recycling gets picked up plus you need bins? Is that right?
I think we would just need the recycling to be picked up. I'm pretty sure we could handle the bins with cardboard boxes that are bigger than usual, and they can use that for recycling.
The recycling company needs a certain type of bin to put it in, I think.
You can't just put it in a dumpster.
You can't put it in a cardboard box either, I don't think.
It has to be something they can pick up.
Okay.
Pick up easily. Yeah.
They can handle it.
I admire your project. That's really,
really cool.
I think we're aware of how important recycling is, crucial. So we will put it on the agenda tonight or maybe the next meeting to discuss whether we... I guess the first thing we'd have to do is find out how much our recycling contractor will charge to go to the school. But we will definitely start working on it tomorrow.
That may be covered in our contract already.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it is.
If they get cardboard there, then
it's just that it's not in a proper
container.
If it was in the right containers, I think that they would pick it up.
I mean, that's what we have to do.
If you put it in the dumpster, they're not going to dive in there and get it.
It would have to be a separate recycling bin.
They're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
We'll get the ball rolling because we'll start calling our company tomorrow or this week and get some numbers.
And the boxes have to be broken down.
Yeah. They'll probably ask you to have smaller containers like the kind that houses have, like the kind that you guys have at home.
Yeah.
And to, put certain things in certain containers. And then they can pick it up and dump it. Otherwise, I don't think they can do it.
Yes.
But I think we'll talk to them and
Yeah, we'll
thank you.
Thanks for getting involved.
And once we have an answer, we'll make sure that we either bring you back here or, you know, we won't leave you hanging. As soon as
we'll
we know,
get to you.
We'll tell you. Right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing that. Yes.
Excellent.
Move to go back into regular session.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Oh, you
sorry.
No audience now.
I'm sure you don't want to hang out with us for a while.
I told you.
Learn about your local government.
When we go round and round about the
talk about bamboo.
Talk about bamboo.
Aw.
There's this whole sewer thing to talk about here.
That's yours?
That's Mike's.
Oh, Mike's, okay. Yeah.
Are you moved to go back into regular session?
Moved to go back to regular session.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Come to approval of minutes from the regular meeting minutes of February 24th, 2020.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Abstain.
Okay. All right, we've come to correspondence. None for this meeting. And we come to ordinances. We have a first reading of Ordinance 20-01, an ordinance amending Chapter 15, Water and Sewer of the Borough Code at Section 15-4, to clarify the obligations of the borough and property owners as to the repair, replacement, and maintenance of water taps and service connections.
I'd like to move that.
I'll second. What are we talking about here? I see it, but I hear, but what are... this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's an ordinance.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Is this for water taps or is this for sewage?
Sewage.
So this is for water taps. What are they?
Water and sewer. Water and sewer.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't mean to hold you up.
It's okay.
So, Lou, you second that, correct?
I did.
Okay.
Not knowing what I was doing.
Okay. Can I comment?
No, we need to take a roll call.
Oh, yeah.
This is just introduction. So, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, so the public hearing to be held on March 23rd, 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. And that's when we'll have a public hearing and a public comment.
Okay. Just on a comment about this, the Anna wrote a letter.
Yes, I asked her to.
Yeah. Very good letter. I couldn't have said a letter myself.
Yeah, that's why I asked her to write.
Yeah, okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Before we leave this, there's something in this ordinance.
Which one?
The one we just approved.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to 15-4.3, and maybe I'm wrong, but it says here that any fees. Here it is.
Yeah.
It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 line from the bottom.
Of the underlined section?
Of the D. Of the underlined
D.
Section.
Underlined.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It says the amount to be charged shall become a lien on the land and be added to the and become part of the taxes next to be assessed and levied upon the lands. That's implying that it's going to be on the tax bill. Not on the water bill. Am I correct in that, or am I...
Only if they fail to pay for it.
I'm sorry?
Only if they fail to pay for it, right?
Well, no, but the point I'm making is it shouldn't be on the tax bill. It should be in the water bill.
Well, the water bill is considered taxes, too, though.
No, it's not. It's a rental.
No, it's not.
No, it's a rental.
It's a lease.
It's a lease or a rental.
They're both leads, though.
Yeah, that's...
They're equally leads.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean...
They're leads. The water, the water and sewer trying to pay, there's a lead on your property.
Right.
Yes.
The same effect as not paying taxes. Not paying water and sewer bills, the same effect as not paying taxes.
All right, but...
But your point is that you think it should be added to the water sewer budget, not the...
Not the tax bill.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be on our property tax, is what I mean. It should be added to the...
The water and the sewer.
It's like a late fee.
Right.
Yeah. Wait. You don't want it to be considered under tax, like revenue? Is that what you're...
No.
No, he doesn't want the lien on the property tax bill. He wants it to be on the water sewer utility, but I don't know if you can.
Failing to water sewer would be a lien on the property.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a lien on the property. If you don't pay your water sewer bill for long enough, they'll put a lien on your property tax, on your property properties.
But not on your property tax.
The difference. Right. If it's related to
tax.
It'll go to tax sale, yes.
That's what I thought.
The officer is a tax collector who's going to sell the property, who's going to offer the lien for sale at a tax sale.
Right.
Yeah.
Both together at a tax sale. They're all handled the same way.
See, my understanding upon the lands is your home, your property.
Yes. Right. Failing to pay a water sewer bill would be considered a lien, and then would go to tax sale.
Right. The water sewer utility can't take your house. Only we can. The tax collector, which is why...
Well, no, once it goes to tax sale, someone can buy the tax sale certificate.
Correct.
Well, okay.
I guess as soon as there's a lien, that means that it is part of the tax...
Tax lien.
That's
basically
what it is. I mean, that's the only way to do the lien is through the taxes.
Yeah, well...
You know, the water
is it,
sewer.
Michael?
I think it says shall be part of the taxes. I don't think it's actually part of the taxes. That it is a lien in the same way as the taxes are a lien. It's not part of the taxes. I think the Lutheran Church is
saying that's right.
Part of the, it's not part of the taxes.
And a part of
the amount so charged shall be called
a lien.
It
should be a lien upon the water sewer bill, no?
Become a part of the taxes.
It should be
well, because but it results in a tax sale.
That's correct.
Levied upon the
but it's not part of the taxes.
It would be if you don't pay.
It's a tax on your property. I mean, it's.
I was going to say, do you think it's just poorly written, or
yeah, it could be rephrased.
And shall be collected and enforced by the same officer in the same manner as taxes.
The lien on the property and shall be. Yeah.
Right. That's, yeah.
Just the lien upon the lands.
I'll take a look at it.
And shall be. Just leave out that shall be added to become part of the taxes.
Part of the taxes is in question.
It really doesn't add anything.
Yeah.
Which part?
We will lean upon the land.
Where are you, Michael?
Just the one sentence. The one part of the sentence.
Yeah, well, that's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah, so that's my...
That's what I was thinking.
One part there.
Exactly what I was thinking about. That's his next. That's the one.
Leave what out?
Just leave out the words. We shall bear interest in the same way as taxes. No, no, I'm sorry.
No.
Shall become... No. Shall be added to and become a part of the taxes next to be assessed and levied upon the land.
That's what I was concerned about, Michael.
The amount of the
that was what I was concerned about.
Upon the lens.
Well, I'll take a look at it.
My concern, look, the point I'm making is taxes are deductible from your federal tax and your, I guess, your vote tax, both state to federal
property,
right now.
Yeah.
Property tax.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not property tax, because the government can.
Well,
I'm not sure if they changed that or not. That's the point.
Yeah.
And we are very diligent about keeping the property tax and the water sewer bill separate, because as you point out, this one is a rental or one or whatever you want to call it, and the other is something totally different. And I want to make sure that if we put out some money to repair it and we're back charging the homeowner, that money when it comes back Well, it'll come back to wherever, from the water bill, not from the tax bill. We keep everything separate right now. Why? I don't see why we don't keep it separate. Why we wouldn't when it comes to this.
Andrew will revert it.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. I have no more questions. Your witness.
No, thank you, Lou. And as Kathleen said, the public hearing will be on March 23rd. All right, we come to the first reading of Ordinance 20-02, an ordinance amending Ordinance Number 60, located in the borough's 1961 minute book at page 1,459, to provide an automatic renewal provision to the borough's 99-year lease with the Board of Education for a Franklin D. Roosevelt Memorial.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, and does anyone need clarification on this or any discussion? And the public hearing will be held again on March 23rd for this ordinance, 7 o'clock at the Borough Hall.
We need a vote.
Yep. You ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
Okay, and again, public hearing to be held on March 23rd, 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555.
So did anyone have a baby, like, very recently, so then in 99 years the baby can check on how this is carried into perpetuity?
Actually, the way this is written, it's only, is it 20-year period subsequently, not that it thinks to make any difference, but...
20 years after the 99?
99 years is it 2060.
Right.
There were 20 years after that.
I wish I could find out. If it was.
Because we do our part, that's all.
Exactly. You did a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. First reading, Ordinance 20-03, an ordinance augmenting Chapter 12, Property Maintenance of the Borough Code, to include new Section 12-16, Bamboo, to prohibit future planting and regulate the existing running bamboo within the limits of the borough.
That sounds fun.
Bamboo?
Running.
Oh, running, I know. Running.
It's running rampant.
They're running with the goats. That's what we needed, the goats,
more goats.
The bamboo, right? Well, I said that the first meeting, but no one took me up on it. But at least the goats, we could...
Pandas, goats.
Get I'll make the motion.
Yeah, motion?
Second.
Okay. Joe got second. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
All right. And the public hearing on the bamboo ordinance will be held March 23rd. 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt.
We will be busy.
Borough Hall. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey. Come to resolutions. Resolution 20-44, payment of bills of March 9th.
I move that we pay our bills.
Second.
Any discussion? Mike, did you have some discussion? Oh, that. Never mind. That's for the other. Never mind.
No, it's good.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Okay. And Resolution 20-45, resolution authorizing Lyons Environmental Services, LLC of Neptune, New Jersey, to televise and inspect the sewer mains under School Lane and Farm Lane, and to provide the borough engineer with a report regarding same.
I'd like to move that.
Second.
Any discussion?
We got to pave the streets, and it would be nice to know what's going on with the sewers underneath them. Both of those streets have had partial sewer PVC plastic put in at some point in time, but we need to know more about what's going on. Mike is doing that for the sewers in Allentown as we speak, and the same company that's doing that gave him a hint of a reasonable price for doing this sort of a thing. So he should be involved in checking this out.
What is the price for the telemarketing?
$91.50.
Before, when we were going to do Homestead and East Windsor came in, there was a price at about $9,500, I think. And I think that's what Carmella put in for this go-round, for these.
$9,000 to telephone us?
Well, what they do is they run the line through and jet it, and then they bring it back out, and then they run through the television. So it's really twice that they have to do it. So it's half that, but you do it twice.
And it has to be jetted, too.
It's got to be jetted before you can tell the machine.
So I need clarification on who is actually doing the work. Is it
that's what we were just discussing.
Lions Environmental or
Lions
the subcontractor?
That, that's
what I thought.
Well, shouldn't
that's
this be, Lions. Shouldn't we be?
Shouldn't authorizing him to go out?
Right.
Quotes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're authorizing Mike to get quotes for this?
Right. That's what I was quotes. Confused because I didn't think he did it. But then
no,
I thought,
he doesn't do it,
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but then Kathleen asked me, so.
Yeah. I don't think this reads that he's going to
quote. So we
should
rewrite this, yeah.
This reads that he's going to inspect and...
right, that he's going to do it, or his company.
Well, and also it says about the contract to be awarded for $91.50 to Lions Environmental Services.
Estimate from Carmella was $6,000 and change for one street and $3,000 from the other.
Yeah.
You want this, Chad?
Everybody got the letter.
We need it back.
So what do you want to do on this?
So, Andrew, he's not... This resolution that Greg sent over, he's not doing it. He's going to go out for quotes. I don't.
This reads that.
That he's doing it right.
So Lions is only going to get the quotes.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Do we need a second? Do we need another first reading of that?
Well, Andrew's trying. He's deciding now.
No, it's just a resolution. It's not an ordinance. It doesn't need first or second.
No first reading.
It's just.
We're gonna have to have the resolution for the next meeting.
Yeah, because I mean, he's. I think. You don't need a resolution to let him go out for quotes. He's only going out for quotes. He's not.
We can change the resolution to just reflect that you're authorizing Lions Environmental. Is he charging for that though?
That I do not.
I think it's an hourly thing.
Well, then we can't do it yet today.
Okay. Have a motion to rescind. Resolution.
I'll withdraw the motion to...
Yeah, withdraw the motion. We didn't vote, so just withdraw.
Give me a second.
So, and Chad, you're going to...
Second,
So just so you know, Resolution 20-45 is tabled.
Till March
23rd. And to be revised... to authorize Lions to go out for quotes. And his price will not be near $9,000.
No.
Yeah, this was confusing, this one.
Okay.
Understand?
Yep.
Okay.
Be tabled.
Are you come to... Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen.
Well, the Gregs have been on vacation together. They didn't go to the same place.
I was going to say, are they? They're both into fishing.
So now that they're back, I mean, Greg's been working on the computer wires that are hanging in the office area and tucked them into the attic. There was in the chemical room at the sewer plant, they lost their heat. So new heater's been ordered and it's come in and it's going to be installed this week. There's a mix-up with the order for the sign at the intersection of Clarksburg and Rochdale. Apparently that's been remedied.
What kind of sign? What sign?
The intersection, I think Michael brought it up.
Street sign.
The street sign for Clarksburg and Rochdale.
Oh, that thing,
something
yeah.
got mixed up. And anyway, it's back on track. One thing I want to mention is the LED lights that are in this room was originally very expensive, in the thousands apparently. But Greg Defoe somehow, I don't know how he did it, but I mean, he did the whole room for under $500.
I don't know what the cost was.
The back of the truck.
But big thumbs up for Greg Defoe. Saving us.
We were so lucky to have, because that even happened with the floor when the blocks came in with the price and said, you know, it was his, Anna asked him if he could make it lower, and he said, okay. And I went to his house, he said, but that's the lowest I can go. And then I went to his house and said, please, can't you make it even lower? And he was like, okay.
I don't
so
see
we're
that.
Lucky.
I can't picture Greg begging.
Yeah, I beg. No, I beg.
No, he doesn't
I beg.
Know. I think
you probably need to I beg. Yeah, he probably scared him to death.
And that's all for me.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
Yes, we're still doing well, fortunately, and thanks again to the ladies who work with us and for us and who care about us.
True.
And there's really nothing more than I can tell you. The billing... The billing for the water sewer bills are working okay. Everything is running fine.
And Sam's doing well.
And Sam is doing well. Yeah. And he's going to be taking over for the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
We need to soon hire a structural engineer to look at the structural modifications to the water tower that AT&T needs to do or wants to do to add some new equipment. And also, I spoke to Councilman Trammell about this. We have some concerns about how what they do might impact our next carrier that's going to be coming on board, which is T-Mobile. And we want to make sure that both carriers can have adequate space and any structural modifications that need to be done to the water tower can be done at one time so that we can accommodate both of the carriers. And I know Carmella came up with two structural engineers or companies who she thinks are good engineers that she's worked with before. So we'll need to get a quote or quotes from them as to the cost of looking at those modifications. Also, it seems to make sense, and again, I spoke to Joe about this, about having the two carriers contact the structural engineer when his report is done. And I would like both carriers, I think it makes sense that both carriers say, this is the equipment we want to put up there. Will the tower accommodate it all? What structural modifications need to be done to accommodate all of it in one shot? And I also think that they should bear some of the cost of it because we're not making the modifications to it. We're not putting the equipment up there. They are. And, you know, if they want to make modifications to our tower, I think they should bear the cost. I don't know how we go about doing that.
Well, the modifications are also, it's implicit that they're heavier, right? It's more weight, a lot more weight.
Yeah.
It's not like changing some wires.
Yeah, we really don't know. That's why we need a structural engineer.
Exactly.
And when we decide whom that should be, that person should be kind of in between the two carriers, AT&T and T-Mobile, I guess it would be,
right.
To be able to speak to each one of them about what their needs are.
Right.
They should coordinate their work.
And coordinate
yes.
Yeah.
Let the engineer coordinate.
That's exactly. Let him do it. That's right.
He's
the inspector.
Yeah. Right. And that should all go through Carmella because, you know, none of us have real expertise in that sort of stuff. At least she can speak the structural engineer's language. And I know that'll be an additional cost for Carmella. But to make this happen, I think we need that pad. Carmella, structural engineer who speaks with AT&T and T-Mobile.
Right.
Because they have their own reasons to want their structural engineers to deal with this. AT&T would want theirs to do it because, oh, we're not putting anything up
there. But they all have agendas.
T-Mobile,
but,
yeah,
I
they all have their own
say,
agendas.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
So we need an impartial person through Carmela to oversee.
Well, is there any
process.
Way that our guy could review their structural engineers?
Like
if they're going to do
well,
it.
Carmela is not a structural.
Right.
No, I'm talking about the. The carriers,
oh,
they have their own structural engineers,
exactly.
Right? And they're probably going to push for that.
Right.
So if we could just get, hire another structural engineer to review whatever it is that they decide,
and
either give the thumbs up.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. We want Carmela to give us some recommendations.
That might be all that's needed.
I think it should work that once Carmela decides with us who's the better of the two or what's wrong with that. He or she should go over to the tower and review the tower first.
Right.
And know exactly what's going on there.
Well, I'd say we get T-Mobile's equipment up first.
Pardon me?
We should allow T-Mobile to get in first since AT&T is already paying us for renting on the space.
Actually, T-Mobile is also already paying us.
But is their equipment already installed, though?
No.
Right. That's what I'm saying, because if they can't install their equipment based on what AT&T wants to do,
exactly,
then we would lose that money. We'd also owe that money back.
Right.
So we have to get T-Mobile in place before those modifications by AT&T first.
They're not going to make any modifications until we're good and ready.
Right.
Until we get a structural engineer.
Council has to approve it all.
So maybe the right order is to contact Carmela, ask her to get quotes because she knows what specs or what she would like the engineer to do. To look
and she
at
knows the proper charges.
Yeah, she's an engineer too, and we're not. And she could get a couple quotes from them. We could have Anna review the quotes, and we can then decide at the next meeting who we want to have be the engineer. They can do the assessment. Maybe they can look at the engineering reports that are already out there, and he can just say, oh, okay, this makes sense. It should cut the cost a lot if you could. I mean, they're professionals. They should be able to stand under their license and say, this is a legitimate review.
So if we're having our guy give the thumbs up or thumbs down on it, the chances of the carrier paying for that, I don't know whether they would.
That could be a tough one. Yeah.
Well, they may not want to. We have escrow from both AT&T and T-Mobile. They put money in escrow for costs.
Is there anything in the lease that addresses this kind of thing?
Greg was going to look into that.
Yeah. What's in the lease is that they have to go through the council to get approved to do any structural changes. So we're the bottom line. That's why we need Carmela and the structural engineer involved looking at our
But it doesn't seem that you should bear the cost of the structural engineer when it only benefits the two companies.
AT&T had a structure. Their structural people look at it and say, this is what we want to do already. And that's why they wrote the letter back that said, we don't want to pay for a structural engineer because we already did. So,
but that was without factoring in.
They don't care. It's business. They don't
well, right, but they're looking at it as it sits today based on the modifications they want to do, probably not take into account the additional equipment that T-Mobile's putting up there.
Exactly.
Right.
T-Mobile came out and surveyed the water tower
for themselves as it stands today
as
without
stands
this modification.
So if AT&T did modifications, that is...
That also affects T-Mobile.
Step on T-Mobile, that really messes the whole contract.
So we'd want the structural engineer to have both sets of plans in front of them and say, okay, this will work, this is the modifications that need to be done to accommodate both of you.
Right.
And then we'll figure out whether or not they're going to pay for it.
Then they both talk to us,
whatever.
And we talk to the engineer. We figure out what we want to do.
And in my opinion, would be that if we have that structural engineer look at it, that they take into account the T-Mobile one first, adding of that new equipment, and then the modifications for AT&T, and then reject those modifications from AT&T if it affects T-Mobile.
Yes, I agree there.
Okay.
And then at some point we'll discuss with them, or Greg will discuss with them.
Yeah. I think at some point we would need to sit with the structural engineer and Carmela before we go out to the other folk there. But the structural engineer absolutely should talk to both parties and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Coordinate the whole thing.
So I guess, is it okay with the council if I contact Carmela and ask her to get quotes from the two engineering companies she recommends?
To review
And suggest that they might just have to review what work was already done by the other engineers. And then we'll have quotes on it, and we can vote on it at the next meeting.
T-Mobile has not done anything, has they?
T-Mobile has come here and actually physically looked and went up the tower.
Yeah, but they didn't do
it.
They didn't install anything.
So all we have to do is, for them, we have to look at their plan. Whereas AT&T has already got their equipment up there, and we have to look at.
No, they want to put additional.
I understand. Our structural engineer would have to take a look at that and what they want to do in their future plans.
Okay. Well, I think Carmela will explain everything in detail to the structural, whichever structural engineer we hire.
Yeah, and then I'm sure she'll review the report of the engineer.
Listen, whatever they want to do, if the tower can bear it, we have no choice, but we have a choice, but we shouldn't reject any of it. That's the point.
Yeah.
We are not engineers, and we don't know anything about this stuff.
We just don't want it toppling over and drowning us.
I'll contact Carmela about that.
Because the last time he went up on the tower, he got nauseous, and he had to come down real quick.
I was going to poke holes in it and see if the water would leak out.
It would. And then you'd have to stand in like a boy in the dike.
You can't stand up there. You'd be knee-deep in turkey vulture excrement.
The Roosevelt roosters, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll get moving. We'll have possibly a couple engineers' quotes or whatever, and we can move on that at the next meeting and get this thing going.
Good.
End of report.
AT&T is really pressing about this.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
definitely.
We press about a lot of things.
They know about T-Mobile coming in, though, right?
I think so.
Because that could be also why they're pushing to get their stuff taken care of before T-Mobile gets up there.
That's why they broke into the water tower to put their stuff up before anybody knew.
Because that would affect our revenue then at that point in time.
I would assume that was on their list.
Yeah.
Right. So. Okay.
Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
Pumps have been replaced. Utilities seem to be being utilized. it's good. It's like these guys are really doing a job for us here. There's one thing I'm curious about. In front of Steve's house, which is 40?
Yeah.
40 Tamara. There's a manhole cover for the sewer main, and then there's about 10 feet away from it, like crumbling pavement. So I would like for Mike Lyons' people to come and look at that to see if that is, in fact, the sewer caving in there. You know, don't know. And I really appreciate what Anna wrote up about this.
I had asked her to, so it would be clear to everyone exactly
what she wrote about where it starts and whose responsibility it is.
Well, I thought she could have that on hand if anyone questioned it.
Yeah, because, if we don't create an ordinance around this, it's always going to be picking who to pay and not pay and coming up with a reason. This way, most towns, I believe from my internet research, take it the lateral to the mains, and that's all the homeowner's responsibility. So, that's it for me.
Okay. Councilmember Vroman.
Nothing at this
point.
Do you
want to give us a travel log?
No. No. A lot of folks wearing masks in airports.
Okay. Borough official reports. Mike, yep.
Okay. Mike, you do have to state your name because Lori types.
Okay.
So please state your name.
Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Okay. Just as. On behalf of the Environmental Commission, I just wanted to thank the council for moving on the bamboo ordinance. And the one point was we also recommended that the council may arrange for borough for something to be done on the borough land. So hopefully that will be done too at some point, in the coming months.
To eradicate the bamboo.
But where it's gone on to borough land there as well. So we think the ordinance takes care of, addresses the problem of the bamboo growing on private property, but we want to eradicate it from the borough land as well.
Right.
The encroachment, right. And then it raises the question of whether the borough would go after the property owner for having, but that's going to be retroactive because this ordinance was in effect would allow the, you know, from this point forward to go after property owner who clearly was the source of the bamboo. And then as borough historian, I wanted to thank you again for the 99-year lease, making it not expire at the end of the 99 years. Which
how old are your grandchildren? Is there someone who's going to be able to?
My grandchildren should be around at the time. That's right. My children hopefully will be around at the time as well. My children?
Years?
40. That's 40 years from now. My children will be 80.
Oh, I thought I was going by the
99. No, it's another 40 years. Another 40 years. Hopefully they will be around. Maybe I'll be around. Not too likely, but maybe I'll be around. Think positively. That's right, of course. And let's see. Okay. That's pretty much it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Listen, Michael.
Let me fix that
one. If your doctor gives you 10 years to live, yeah, don't pay the bill. He'll give you 10 more years.
I like that one.
You never heard that one?
No. And the other one is, my doctor has a sign on his wall. I'll cure you if it takes every penny you've got.
Okay. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
You approve of our posse?
Okay. Oh, you want me to put that on?
Put it on the agenda.
Ponytail posse? Or the gray ponytail posse?
Magnificent.
Look, they even came in matching.
Yeah, it's true. They look pretty. Yeah, you're right. What? They're all wearing that type of shirt.
Look at Joe's shirt color versus. He combined the two.
He combined the two. And they all have white beards as well.
I didn't expect all this.
Too much attention for the side of the room here, guys.
Right. I like to keep a low profile.
Right. I mean, kind of need with them here.
Don't bring our guns.
The serious people are over there.
So that's the fun bunch, is what you're saying.
All right, we come to new business. So we need to discuss a donation to RAP. Did you want to say anything first, Ben? Or
Before we start, I just want to say that I have a conflict of interest, so I'm on the RAP board, and this is regarding Roosevelt Arts Project. And I think Joe also has a conflict.
So if you
the lawyer person here says that I have a conflict.
And go in the audience. You should
not
be
right
up here.
You're right. So I'm going to recuse myself.
Can we speak from the audience?
Yeah.
Oh. My wife is on RAP. I mean, does that mean anything?
Yes. Half the council will sit in the audience.
That's interesting. I don't even know what RAP is.
I don't have any problem with you all being on.
That's left to me, Kathleen, and Chad. That's the point.
And I'm nobody.
Hey, listen, you're not coming back again. You're going to stay out.
Do you want me to explain it, Ben, or did you want to say something? Whatever you'd like. Whatever you're more comfortable with.
I'm doing good a job as that.
State his name and address, please.
Yeah, Ben Johnson, 36 Pine Drive. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you because the project that I was involved with and still am involved with was for RAP and turned out to be a very expensive and intensive project that ambitious was the gentleman's word, and that's definitely true. It was successful, but the downside is that it cost considerably more than what we had anticipated going into it. So if any relief could be provided by the council, that would be wonderful. But that's up to you guys, and I'm open to any questions that hopefully I can answer.
Is it possible to find out what was the overrun?
Overrun? Yes. RAP budgeted $1,750 for that project. Right now, we have spent $3,591. And we have probably a neighborhood of maybe $600 yet to go, which is largely the duplication of the DVD and the shipping of it to whomever. The bulk of it being the duplication itself, which is around $450. Yet to be determined, because literally today we were in kind of renegotiations with that party, and I don't have a precise figure for you, but it's on that order of about $500-$600 yet to go.
Would I be out of order by asking how much they're looking for?
No, go right ahead.
That's open-ended. I mean, I...
Well, within reason.
Within reason, well...
Cover your overruns and whatever you...
2,000?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure that...
Well, you said you allocated 1750 and then you went over that. How far over did you go?
3,500.
3,500?
Over.
Well, no.
Plus another 450?
Plus another 600. So they're 17 and change over, correct? Plus an additional 600 approximately that you would be looking for.
Yeah, and round numbers.
$2,300.
Correct.
All right. That'll give us a good idea of what we're talking about.
Is there any way we can get it in writing or anything? I mean, just
sort
of break it down so we know what we're doing?
Yeah, I can provide something in writing. I can also tell you kind of in general terms what the expenses were to give you an idea, if you'd like. I mean, that won't take that long. There are some broad categories, and I could just describe what they are.
I'd just like to say, because, of course, it's RAP, so we want to be as helpful as possible, but it might be a little bit of a slippery slope, because once we set a precedent about donating, then there's many, many groups in town who will say, well, you donated to RAP.
That's a very good point.
And as we all know, we have a pretty tight budget here.
Are there any other options, Ben? I mean, like fundraising or something? Free sale?
Bake sale. I like baked goods.
When the DVD is done, we will be selling that. But at probably $15 per, I don't anticipate it's going to be that big a seller, because I don't think people in town obviously are aware, or at least by and large, who Benjamin Brown was and what he meant to this town. But beyond this town, not much at all, I wouldn't think. So that kind of money is probably not going to happen. Beyond that, we have one specific at this point engagement for to present the video version of it. And I imagine we'll probably just get some kind of honorarium. I'm not sure exactly what, but it would take an awful lot of honorariums to make a real dent in this. I don't think that's going to happen, although I've written to a number of area arts groups, Jewish groups, historical groups. I haven't really had much of a feedback other than two. And on one of those, definitely committing to show the video. The other one, quite possibly, but it's not definite. So that's kind of where we stand.
Did you contact the Jewish Museum in Freehold?
I did. They are the one definite.
Oh, they're the one definite. And also, can you apply for any grants, do you think?
Mike, under the Historic Commission?
What I was just going to say was that I think you're concerned about it being a precedent, that this is different than the sort of things other organizations might do because it specifically has to do with the history of the town. And the whole point
I meant other things in town, though. There's other groups in town that have, you know, asked for donations, so that's why.
Oh, yeah, no, I
didn't
saying
mean out of town.
I think it could be distinguished on the grounds that the donation would be something that's for the, you know, publicizing the history of the town, for, you know, it serves a purpose for publicity and for education concerning the town, which, you know, other groups may do other things, but they wouldn't have that character. So I think it can't be distinguished.
Well, I understand. I just mean, but they may present their reasons why they think. Just as yeah, that's all. My only point.
Well, the final analysis, you know, it's up to us.
Right.
Whether they deserve our donation or they don't.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Or
but you
how much,
build up
right.
a lot of animosity.
Either way. I hate this because, either
it's
way.
It's a good point, but I would be in favor of doing something.
Well, what's the proper step to take, Andrew? Should they?
I'm sorry, I could just.
I would submit something in writing first because, I mean, you know, we're just throwing out numbers of $1,600 plus $600, maybe, or $450. Mm-hmm. If you submit something to the mayor and the council,
hard number.
Kathleen, and then we can take a look at that.
A final hard number. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the overrun, is that it, or of the total project cost?
The donation that you would optimally be good for you.
Yeah, okay. How much will take you out of the woods?
Okay.
It's lucky that so many people donated their own time and money.
That's true.
Then you'd really be in there.
There was a lot of that.
We had a lot of community involvement where all the food for the event was paid for by the women who cooked it, and many, many, many people volunteered their own time and money.
Unfortunately, the mayor and the council won't be able to vote on anything to expend any funds until they see something in writing as far as what you're looking for.
Right. No, I understand. Sure.
They said $5, and you know, here we go. You know, something de minimis, and it's a different story. But you know, looking for
something on the letterhead.
Okay. I just want to mention that the only other avenue that we've pursued is contacting the Fund for Roosevelt, and if anything happens there, I have no idea. But that's a possibility. So
yeah, they're sitting on a little money. Let us know. Give us a number. We'll give it a hard look.
Fine. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a wonderful event.
Indeed. Stay there.
Whole different viewpoint, right? Whole different vantage point.
They don't look comfortable.
Any other?
Some people don't stay too long.
All right, we open the floor to public comment at 8:04 p.m. Anyone from the public have anything they'd like to comment about? Yeah. Sure.
This is just a question.
You name it, but you need
I'm sorry, to Ben Johnson, 36 Pine Drive. Just looking at that bamboo ordinance. I guess Mike already mentioned it. It doesn't mention anything about green space, but at least it doesn't specifically say it. It talks about property.
Well, that's the public areas.
Yeah.
But it talks about roads and lanes and whether they're private or public or not, and neighbors. It doesn't say anything about going. Maybe it does. In my mind, it doesn't say anything about going into the green space. That's all. Okay. And the only other thing I would ask, just my own ignorance, is if you have a neighbor who is agreeable to having it next to them, is it still take effect? In other words, are you still in violation?
You can have bamboo on your private property as long as you tend to it, care for it, keep it trimmed and neat.
And only on your property.
And only on your own, yeah.
But if you had adjoining properties and it was good for both, then it's okay.
Well.
No.
It doesn't.
It still has to be maintained. It's the problem. If you're not going to maintain your own lawn as it is, and you're not going to maintain the bamboo to contain it, it's just going to keep spreading. So.
Big time.
You know, per what's being proposed, I mean, that's why you need to have it within those barriers. And in a lot of cases, if the barriers aren't put in properly and if it's not above ground in the type of barrier, it's going to grow out of that anyway or through the container.
So then does that mean that even if the other if both neighbors, adjoining neighbors, are in agreement and they don't see it as a problem, does it still have to be a minimum of 5 feet buffer?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Because what's going to end up happening is if it goes across somebody's backyard, because it starts here, it ends up over there, and it grows in a matter of days. So next thing you know, shoots at the far end neighbor, and they didn't want it. Or back into the woods, and it goes back into the woods to the green space and comes around that way. And once it's in the green space, it's just going to keep going.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Peggy, we jumped out of a new business quickly.
I'm sorry.
Bring something up?
Sure.
I don't even know.
Wait, we're in public comment. So okay. Are we closing
ignore my sure. We'll bring it up after I close. Mike?
Okay, yeah.
That was Michael Tixton again. In answer to the question about, I mean, I think as a practical matter, if two neighbors really wanted it, you know, right. Nobody's going to file a complaint.
Right.
So it wouldn't come to the attention of the code officer because nobody would be complaining about it.
Right.
You know, the code officer isn't going around checking everybody's property to see whether his bamboo is going to come to his attention because somebody is aggrieved by it. And the thing about the green belt, we don't need an ordinance for the green belt because the borough already controls the green belt, and therefore the borough can take action to eradicate it. And once this ordinance passes, the borough could also take, you know, would exercise its right to recover from anybody who's causing it, has been given notice and hasn't done anything and has caused the problem.
Thank you.
Just have a question. Your homes are connected by two separate backyards, correct? The homes that are together? There's not usually a barrier unless someone has a fence. The property line is the barrier. So what happens if the following year one of them sells their house and now you have new owners come in and now you got a problem with the bamboo encroaching?
Well, when they come and look, they see bamboo.
Or a house is vacant.
Well, if they go to the code enforcement officer when they move in and say that bamboo is all over my property.
Yeah, but it's very hard to get rid of.
Once it's in.
So I, you know.
Especially if you're selling your house, you've moved out, and now who's maintaining that property? Or in the case of foreclosure, like if my neighbor had bamboo, I would have bamboo all over my yard, and I'd be having to chase it and hack it down on a routine basis because that house has been vacant for quite some time now.
That's nasty stuff.
It sounds real nice in the wind, however.
I think it's beautiful. It's so pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It makes a great barrier and stuff, but if you are not one to weekly mow your lawn on a weekly basis, whether or not it needs it or not, all those new shoots
like
that come up.
It's like dandelions. You mow the lawn, and 5 minutes later, another one pops up.
At least you'll take them out with the mower.
Well,
whereas
true.
If bamboo's above the ground like this, it's already starting to harden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And I started it.
Anything else from the public?
8:10.
All right, we'll close the public comment at 8:10.
Okay. Now you guys, comments from the council.
Anything else? Well, anything else? Steve?
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring it up. Not that there's a real issue at the moment, but I'm wondering whether or not, you know, boroughs and municipalities play any role in like a public health emergency like the coronavirus, all that.
You know what? I'm very sorry.
Is there any coordination with...
Yeah, I'm very sorry. I was really remiss on my part. I was on the phone on a conference call with the governor's office on Wednesday. I should have reported about that. And, I mean, the state officials are on it. They're watching. They're watching everyone. I've been hearing from the Monmouth County health officials. But there's not really... They're being vigilant as far as observing everything and trying to take precautions. But basically, the gist of that conversation... I learned more about airports in that conference call than I did about anything else, because there was that they discussed... Because the mayors from North Jersey, of course, were concerned about people coming in at Newark, and the mayors of South Jersey were concerned about people flying in from Philadelphia Airport. Well, they didn't mention Trenton. I think they were talking about more global flights. Yeah, more global or long-distance flights. And so, if the time comes, they are going to set up centers. And I mean,
well, in thinking about the community's response or our response in regard to that, I think it's important to try to identify who the at-risk people are in the community. That would be my first step. I'd want to know... Who may have a real problem with it if they contract it. They may not be able to get out of their house and go get food supplies. They may need somebody to help them out. And so, and I think the CDC has already said who some of the at-risk population is. People over 60, people with pre-existing conditions, high blood pressure, kidney issues or other cardiovascular,
then there's people
pulmonary
that are
issues.
Defying that who have none of those issues and they're dying.
Yeah, I think we could get ahead of it by trying to identify who are the real at-risk people here in case they do get it and they have to be self-quarantined. And I think that's...
Yeah, they're going to need help.
Yeah, they're going to need some help. And as a social worker, and I know you think that way too, I think we need to know who that population is.
Because, you know, with the real disaster type of
possibility
speculations, I mean, if they say, by the beginning of May, there are going to be no hospital beds available, I'm like, whoa, that's pretty bad. So then, is there a plan? Get crazy.
Well, I was on the phone, it was about an hour and a half call. Didn't get that detailed yet, but that was on Wednesday. And as of Wednesday, there were no cases in New Jersey at all. Now we're up to 4 or 6 today.
11.
Up so in West Jersey,
I'm sure.
Right?
Are they?
Monmouth County.
No, Monmouth County.
Where? Well, yeah.
Middlesex. Little Silver.
Little Silver and Hazlitt.
Hazlitt, right.
Oh, wow.
Did these people, well, you know what?
So I expect to hear from them again soon. For the next step, on what so far, because it hadn't hit Jersey, it was all speculation. What possibly?
Think of all the commuters and all the people who go into the city and go to Hoboken, and here and there where there's a lot of
interaction
with other people.
Yeah, the mayor from Englewood expressed it in kind of a funny way. He said, we have all these residents who work in New York but sleep in New Jersey. He didn't say live. He said but sleep in New Jersey,
yeah.
And that's the reality.
I think it might pay also to look at our emergency management plan and see what's in there already for something like this, and meet with our emergency management coordinator. Now, is that you now?
You looking at me?
Are you the emergency management coordinator? Yes, Mayor. I'm sorry.
I couldn't tell you looking at me or down that end of the table.
Is that you?
You looking at me?
Rob Masterson and I am.
Okay, but I think that... It may be a good idea to sit down.
Well, I asked them, I asked about that, and they didn't seem to know what would we do.
Reach out to Monmouth County Board of Health too, because they're your health
That's
department.
The best
it actually wouldn't be a bad idea to ask them if they could come to our next
Monmouth
meeting.
County, state and federal is what people are doing now.
And the CDC does have recommendations for community response.
We're so isolated here, and so I can't tell if that's better for us because maybe we won't be as exposed, or worse because we are so isolated.
I think both. I think there's problems
with both
and benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if the Monmouth County Health Department will come in on our to our next meeting and give us some guidance. Because I tried to get some guidance on this phone call. Everyone did. But they were really basically at a loss other than wash your hands, don't touch your face, you know, the basic.
I'd be concerned with our citizens who are at Solar Village, too.
Well, we have a huge older population here.
Well, let's just say elderly.
Well, you know, we have both. We have older, and then we have old. People, many residents live a long time in Roosevelt. So, you know, we've got the older,
and
older than the
ancient. Yeah, people live to be 100 years. <years. laughs> So, you know. So you're right. So not just Solar Village. I mean, we have so many, such a large population of
And what about our first aid squad and other health professionals that we have in town who might be able to help coordinate?
Some kind of hotline or something.
Food delivery service or whatever. You know, if we have volunteers to go to the store and break food.
We have that. We do that really well in this town anyway. The moment someone's sick, well, we need to be coordinated. Yeah, it needs to be organized. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to make sure that people understand how you get this virus. You know, it's an interesting virus because if it's in the air, it doesn't last more than a couple of seconds, and it dies immediately.
But on surfaces.
But on the surface, they don't doesn't last long either.
They don't know.
No, they
no, they do. On surfaces, it lasts. It dissipates quicker than human contact.
Right. And this is, you have to have actual human contact of their...
Except that it doesn't have to be very close contact. Someone breathes anywhere near you, it travels.
Well, near you if the person sneezes or coughs. Or
droplets.
But if they don't do that or they don't stand in front of you...
But then it's got to go in your eyes, nose, mouth, membranes.
Yeah, well, that's the point. You have to know how it's transmitted. My understanding is that it comes from human
communication is going to be important too with people. If somebody feels like they're sick and they have no way of getting to the doctors, or they're telling people, "Well, don't go to. We don't want you coming if you're sick. When you're staying at home." It would be good to know about that and be able to maybe get somebody who can deliver something to their doorstep if they need it, either a decongestant or. You know what? Whatever. I think
a CVS run.
Yeah, we need some sort of communication network, some way that they could call and ask for help.
The way it works in town now, if somebody feels the need for that sort of thing, they're going to call Anna. So it's going to be a list that she's compiling.
Well, not necessarily. There's so many of those, whatever they're called, like round robins or something. The moment someone is sick in town, generally all the neighbors rally around. And make dinner and take, well, in this case, it wouldn't, you know, take them to doctor's appointments. But, I mean, that works beautifully in Roosevelt and always has. But we need a more organized,
formal way of doing
it. Yeah. So
well, and the other thing is if somebody's has symptoms, I'm not sure that you want... To be in the car.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why I said the car doesn't apply in this case, just in other...
I mean, doctor's offices don't seem to be very concerned. Doctor's offices don't seem to be very concerned when you go into them. Like, when I went in with flu symptoms, nobody has... They're not doing anything any different than any other time.
Except in the waiting room with everybody
saying,
else.
Yeah.
Right.
Contaminated everybody
But even
else.
The people behind the desk and everything else, still a generic container of pens and, sign here, sign this, use this touchpad to check in, do that. There's no sense of urgency at a doctor's office.
Right. Well, yeah. Even the governor, on the governor's call, they discussed a myriad of subjects, but there was no urgency. They wasn't here yet. And truthfully, if the hospitals are filled, there's, you know, not a whole
lot. Yeah, but
if
it gets like Italy.
it could spread really quick.
It is.
We have a high population density in New Jersey.
So it would be good to have something in place before it gets here.
Yeah, so I suggest health and public safety possibly convene.
The health department recommends.
And work with the health department and look at the CDC's recommendations. And
Yeah, I think that's what differentiates this virus from the regular flu, is that it spreads so much more easily, quicker, easily.
The effects of it don't really show until it shows.
And then it moves very quick. In
and out.
Yeah. Metabolizes really fast.
And how long does it, is it like the flu? Like you have it for 5 days?
It depends. People die within 2 weeks from it sometimes. If it gets into the lungs and they develop complications.
A 13-year-old died the other day.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. So it's scary stuff, but yeah. I think we ought to get involved in it. Emergency management and also health, environmental health and safety, and reach out to some of the healthcare people.
I would start with the county. I'd start with the county and see what they say.
On our website is the federal, state, and county.
So, you know what, Chad, we'll call the county and then we'll try to coordinate a meeting with you and maybe. Are you around?
Yeah, I should be here this week.
Okay. I'll try to get hold of Rob Masterson. That was new business.
Mm. Okay. Are we good to go?
So there's no closed session.
You don't need a closed session?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, my goodness.
We're quick on the draw here.
Oh, you did the second?
Good Lord.
Hold on. We're not officially 8:20. 22.
Sorry, I don't mean to...